by faith, we please God. Have you ever had somebody you just couldn't please, no matter what you did? You know, I've taken so many people to jail that I just couldn't please them. No matter what I did, they just weren't pleased with me. Oh, my. Hey, what really pleases God? And this whole series is going to be about the one thing that pleases God. And I tell you right now, I guarantee you, everyone in this room has struggled thinking you can please God on your own. I can just, you know, if I just do this and this, God's going to be happy with me. That kind of attitude is common because we want to say we can do something to really please God. And there's some things you can do. But we're going to talk about what really pleases God. And I love to hear testimonies of faith. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is the only thing that's going to please God. In fact, we're about to read, outside of faith, you can't please God. I love stories of faith. I like when someone really believes. It's just so encouraging. I read about this week of a teacher named Ron. And Ron wasn't just any teacher. He was a teacher for the mentally handicapped. And for a school that really is for kids that are never going to be able to live on their own. Okay? And so it's kind of that's a tough place to teach. And so he's teaching them, and he teaches them how to play chess. Learns the moves. I don't even know how to play that. And then he teaches them how to fix furniture. Old furniture. And it gives them some real feeling like they can accomplish something. And then he teaches them how to fix little appliances in the house. And he's wondering, am I getting anywhere with this group? And he's wondering, you can get depressed as a teacher. And he's wondering, and one day, little Jack comes to school. And under one arm, he has a broken toaster. And on another arm, he has a loaf of bread. And he says, it's working. Someone has got faith. I'm bringing a broken toaster to school, and I'm going to have toast. Amen?
Amen?
All right. That's faith. And so I enjoy stories of faith. John G. Payton, one of my favorite missionaries to the New Hebrides Islands, 1849 sails to the New Hebrides back in the day when they didn't have a cell phone. And he landed on Tanawa. Hey, savages. Severe, severe demon possession stuff. And he said, he landed, and the guy in the ship says, man, I'll see you maybe on the other side, like in glory, because you're going to die in a week. You're done. These islands are inhabited by savages. And he built a little house, and he led a little savage to the Lord, named him Abraham. And he had a little dog, and that's about all he had for a few years. It was tough missionary work. And one day they just circled him. He had built a little hut he lived in, a one-room hut with some good bamboo walls, and then he had a fence that went down like this, came over, and was having church in a little chapel and on this island of Tanawa. And they were, it was just brutal. They had throwing stones, these big rocks, and they could throw them so exactly, hit you right in the head, kill you dead. And one night he heard of the chief died, and so the chief died, and he had six wives, so they strangled the wives, ate them in front of the dead chief. That's what we're talking about. And they circled the house. You got to get this book, The Autobiography of John G. Payton. And I have a copy, maybe a couple. And he said, they encircled my hut. And we began, me and Abraham began to pray. And Abraham says, this is it. We're dead. And they started the fence on fire. And it's just a bunch of palm leaves. And it's coming up to the house. And he said, Lord, deliver us or take us home. But we're ready to go one way or another. And John G. Payton says, I'm looking through the lattice of my house as there's torches around. and they're getting ready to kill us, when I heard, whoo! And he says, we all, myself included, look to the east where the wind never comes. And all the savages dropped their arms and looked, and here come a gushing wind. And it says, it hit the side of the house and ran down the fence, turned the fence up, threw the fire into the chapel, burned it to the ground, and there we stood. And he says, all the savages just took off running. For they saw something they'd never seen before. The living God. This is faith. John G. Payton, you know how he won that island of Annawa? He won it by digging a well. He dug a well. He dug a well, and he dug down about 25 feet through coral and came to some moisture, and he said, oh boy, what's it going to be? And so he did a pilot hole about the size of a gallon can, and he waited till the next morning. He went down there, and he got on his knees, and he prayed, and he dipped the water out to taste if it was salty or not, and it was pure water. They had been struggling with, believe it or not, during the non-rainy times, they were thirsting to death. He says all the savages, he showed it to them, they didn't believe him, so they all got in the line. They had to hold hands because they were afraid of the hole. And they would hold hands, big long line. He said it was the funniest thing. He'd walk down with an empty cup, dip it in the thing, bring it up and serve it to them. And he did that, and they said, God can do this. God brought water up instead of down. Revival hit Annawa, and the whole place came to Christ over drilling a well. You know, today you can go to Annawa, and it's the only well with water in it. How do you pick that? That's because of the Lord. This pleases God. This pleases God, our faith. And so we're going to start. We know that last week we talked about what faith is. It's just the solid belief in the promises of God. And today we're going to talk about what it looks like. And the first step last week we realized you got to believe that God created you, because it settles a few things. One is you have a cause. Someone caused you. Number two, you have a purpose. And if someone caused this and I have a purpose, that person must be incredible. Unimaginable God. And that settles all those. And so we come now to what faith really looks like. Would you stand with me as we read in honor of God's word? Hebrews 11, verses 4 through 7. We got three illustrations here of how to please God. And it's most incredible. I can't wait to preach it. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, we can get out of the rat race of trying to please you with what we can do, but just trusting in what you've done. May you open our hearts, open this preacher's heart. Help me to preach it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have here before the law, we have here illustrations of three men who before the flood, in that time before God destroyed the earth, that we still had to please God by faith. There's dispensationalists. Dispensationalists believe that we have different dispensations. I believe that. I believe in that dispensation of the covenant of works. You'll notice that Adam and Eve is not mentioned in the roll call of faithful. They didn't believe God's word. God says, you eat that tree, you shall surely die. And they went, really? Well, they looked at it, and it seemed good to their eyes and to make one wise. And so she took it, and Eve ate it and gave it to her husband. And the curse came upon us. That was the dispensation. Then we come to the dispensation of Noah, and then they got dispensation of Abraham, dispensation of law, dispensation of... Now we're in the dispensation of the church. I understand that. I get that. But what I don't agree with dispensationalists, the ones that are hardcore, is that they believed at certain different dispensations, we got saved differently. You could get saved by sacrificing a lamb. No, you had to get saved in faith of the lamb to come. It was always by faith. That's been the leading thing. That's what Hebrews 11, the author, is saying. It was all by faith. It's how we please God. And so the first one, what do we come to is this first character, the first hallmark, the first roll call of faithful is the son of Adam and Eve, their second son from what we read here. His name's Abel. Abel was a rancher, a person that handled flocks. Cain was a farmer. He tilled the ground. And they come, apparently, it was very clear, we know that the Lord had already organized a way to approach him. And what the first issue in regards to pleasing God is how are you going to worship him? I have three W's today. Worship, walk, witness. We're going to see how Abel worshiped, we're going to see how Enoch walked, and we're going to see how Noah witnessed to the world. Okay? And he's calling us to do this. And real saving faith does this. And so, how do you approach God? This is a great question. How do you do this? And we know from the first parents that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they had to be covered. They're naked. And they knew they were naked. They had corrupted themselves. And they needed to be clothed. And what did God do? Did he go get some fig leaves, some more fig leaves? No. He went and he sacrificed an animal. And before the King James Bible came out, there were several. There was the Matthew Bible. There was a lot of different Bibles in English. But one was the Britches Bible. The Britches Bible. Because in that place, the author said, and God went and made britches for him. And so they called it the Britches Bible. All right? That's how they translated clothing. Britches. This is an English man. And so the Britches Bible came. But God went, killed an animal, and sewed those up and made britches for him. Clothing. Something had to die to cover their sins. Okay? And so we say, how do we approach God in worship? This is our number one thing here now. How are you going to worship? And it says here that Abel, by faith, offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. So what was the difference here? Well, they're big. And really, the issue is in the gift given, but in what we admit with our worship. You see, Cain admitted something with his worship. He brought the first of his flock. He brought a lamb, and he brought it to the offering, and this is difficult, and he cut its throat, and he bled it out, and he bowed before the Lord. Cain got the best of his crop, and he worked hard. He tilled the ground. He did the best he could, and he got the best wheat he could find, or the best grain, or the best corn, and he brought it to the Lord and laid it before him. And God says, I don't respect your offering. And Cain got mad. But I respect Abel's offering. And Cain went, What? You don't accept my best? And God says, no, it's not it. It's the wrong currency. You're bringing your best. You're bringing what you can do. Cain, you worked hard and you got this, and you brought it before me. But Cain, your good enough isn't good enough. And Abel brought something that said a few other things. Abel confessed he was a fallen creature, so bad that someone else had to die. He's expressing his heart. Abel not only said, he acknowledges that he was worthy of death for how he sinned against God. Abel confessed this. And Abel also, he testified by his sacrifice that his only hope was in this substitute here. Someone else has to die in my place. He had faith of something coming down the road, way down the road. And not only that, by his offering, he believed God's word, and it resulted in saving faith to him. And Cain went, well, this isn't fair. I should be able to come to you on my terms. And God says, no, Cain, you can't come to me, but on my terms. Because your terms, you'll never reach me. But on Abel's terms, you could be pleasing to me. Now, church, I'm talking about a church problem. We try to come to God on our terms. We think we can do it good enough. Hey, I go to visitation all the time. I ask people this question all the time. In your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven? How you get into heaven? And they say, I'm a pretty good guy. I said, what's your name, Cain? I'm doing good. What are you doing so good? How can you add up? You've never done anything wrong. You're going to meet God and say, I'm better than somebody else. That's not how it's going to work. You can't come like Cain. You've got to come like Abel and say, if it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't meet you. You've got to come in God's terms, not your own terms. I was sitting down with a man once, just this year, and I said, how are you with the Lord? Oh, we got an arrangement. You have an arrangement. What's your arrangement? Well, I do what I want, and he doesn't talk to me about it. Yeah, we call that lost. We call that lost, sir. If you don't hear from God, you will perish. I want to ask you, church, how are you coming to God? Is it something because you're doing a bunch of stuff that you think is going to please him? Or are you going through Jesus Christ, your substitute? This is the first part of faith. How are we going to worship God? If we don't get this right, the rest is going to be nothing. If this marriage doesn't take place of you worshiping through Jesus Christ, the rest of your graces are illegitimate children. All these graces, you come into church and you pray, and all these are going to be for nothing if you don't come through Jesus Christ and the blood sacrifice. That's how we worship God. And that's why we bow before him in this house and say, thank you. Thank you, Father, for choosing me. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for calling me out of the world. It wasn't me. It was Jesus. Now, when we get that squared away, we come to the next place. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was just walking with God. When we get our worship squared away and we go through Jesus Christ to please God, the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. This is how saving faith works. He's just walking you down it. You're going to have, no one saw this walk. They didn't literally see Enoch walking with God like this. Okay? We all know that. What it means is he had some personal, intimate, incredible relationship with the God of heaven and earth that was rich. And God calls us to this. And by faith, he calls us to this time of, you should have a time this last week of prayer. You should be speaking to God and asking him, what do you want me to do today? And you're just praising his name. In prayer, you know what I was convicted about in my sabbatical about my prayer life? I don't worship God enough in it. I ask him for things. I admit some things. But I need to worship more in my private time. I need to sing a song to him. I need to just bow before him with my arms open and say, thank you so much. There's nothing more precious than you in all the world. This is what God is calling us to. And Enoch did this. Now, why would Enoch do that? Do you know, he didn't even believe in God till he was 65. Something happened at 65. He got a kid. I don't know about you, but when I held my first kid, it wasn't at 65. Things were different then. But Joel only weighed like 8 pounds 12. 8 pounds 12. He was almost 9 pounds. He's a fat little baby. He was the biggest baby we were going to have. Our littlest one, Jeremiah, said, doesn't matter. None of that matters how big the baby is. Okay? All right? When I held him, he was 8 pounds, but he felt like a ton of responsibility. But it changed me. I was no longer on my own and just me and Hope, you know, we can do what we want. No, we got somebody to raise. And God held, I'm sorry, Enoch held his little baby boy. And God says, I want you to name him something. Yes, God, what do you want me to name him? I want you to name him Methuselah. He says, wow, God, that's a really different name. Well, why Methuselah? Why would you name my child that? Because Methuselah means when he dies, it'll come. When he dies, it's going to come. And the year that Methuselah died, the flood came. It took everybody away. And Enoch went, the wrath of God is coming. Oh, the wrath of God is coming. I got to be right with God. And he went through Christ, and he went through the blood offering, and he began to walk with God for fear. And one day he was walking through the woods 235 years later and just walked into heaven. God translated him. It's a picture of your life. You go through Christ, and one day you're going to walk with Christ, and you're just going to walk one day and just step into heaven. That's the promise we have. Methuselah is a picture of the grace of God. For who's the oldest man ever recorded in history? Methuselah. Lived 969 years. God is so gracious. He picked the child before judgment to go as long as he could. Let me ask you, are you walking with God? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Is it active? Are you spending some time with him? This is what faith does. Once we have Jesus, we want this. Well, lastly, we look at how Abel worshiped, it pleased God, how Enoch walked, and now we see Noah and how he witnessed to the world. Hey, your faith's so powerful. Your faith's so powerful that either it will condemn the world or save it. Because it says, by his faith he condemned the world. Wow, how do you condemn the world with your faith? You know, preaching's a scary thing, just so you know. I'm standing up here and I'm telling you the gospel truth. I'm telling you that you cannot go any other place but through Jesus Christ to heaven. You will never please him. You're never good. And your good enough is not enough. I'm begging you to come to Christ. And either it's going to soften your heart or it's going to harden it. It's going to do one or the other. And people get up and walk out lost, or people get up and walk forward and get saved. It's one or the other. Right? Amen. And so this is scary. And by the way, it's just not Pastor Mark. It's you living your life. And just think about this. Okay, God came down and told Noah, Noah, I'm wiping the place out. I'm going to do it with water. Here's the diagram for the boat. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah began to build a big boat in front of his house. That's a witness. He built a big boat. Took him 100 years. It's made out of gopher wood. We can't even find that wood anymore. He probably cut it all down. Because it's going anyway. And I just want you to think about that. His faith condemned the world because he began to build something in his life for eternity. His whole thing, he stopped building homes. He didn't go down and build condos after he heard from God. Why wouldn't he do that? Because that's a bad investment. Because in 100 years, it's gonna get wiped out, right? Why would you build something when it's going to be gone in 100 years? That's a question, church. Why are you building things when it's not going to be here in 100 years? Do you understand 100 years from now, this is over with for everybody in here? Okay, I want to ask you, what are you building? Because it's going to convict the world. Because Noah built something for eternity. It's going to save his family. It's going to save his household. It was going to save the world. And people laughed at him. They mocked at him. Brother Scott, they show up at work and said, gee, I thought you were smarter than that. I'm sure Noah got that. What a stupid thing. There's no lake, there's no ocean even close to him. And he's building a big boat. It's because he is building on faith. And it looks crazy to the world. You're building your life on Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and not being so attached to this world is crazy to the worldling. I remember I was years ago. I mean years ago. I was on the police department, and they're talking about church. They go, Mark, are you one of those guys that gives 10% of your income to the church? I said, yes. That's so stupid. You're so stupid, Mark. Just said it to me like that. I'm just a rookie, year and a half on, single guy. And I said, that's what I do. I feel like God is really pleased with me giving him whatever I can for what he's done for me. Well, that shut everybody up. No one wants to talk about that. Church, you're going to be looked as foolish. But by faith, you're going to be given the greatest gift of ever. You're going to give eternal life. And Dad, did you hear that? He saved his household. Are you living your faith out in front of your kids? You know what Noah did? He got up every morning and said, hey, Jason, get up, you lazy bum. We've got to go work on a boat. He did. Ham, get up. We're working on the boat today. And they got up, and they began to see the faith of their father and the blessing and grace that was on him. And they said, I think Dad's got something. And do you know one of those guys is your father? One of those is why you're here. The only reason you're here was the faith of a righteous man. We owe God everything. And he moved man by faith. I want to ask you, what are you building in your life? Is it going to be perishing? We're about to go into a pledge dinner here. And you have an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. Things that will never be the same again. I know this building's going to be gone. I'm talking about the souls that will be touched inside of it. What are you building? How are you worshiping? Are you going through the blood of Christ, or are you trying to do it on your own? Hey, that's just a big, big, big treadmill. We call it religion. And without a relationship with Christ, you're lost. You say, well, I got baptized. Good, you got wet. Unless we do it in faith, it's nothing. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you walking with God? Oh, you're blessed. If you're not, why don't we go back to the worship part and see if we've gone through Christ? And then we can build a life in front of this world. And they just go, man, I don't get this. They're not attached to this world. One of the Frenchmen. Well, that's not true. One of the Caesars was writing another Caesar. We have it in history. When they were killing the Christians in the first 100 years of Christianity. And he says, they are ridiculously happy and always getting in trouble. You know what? That's what we need to be. We need to be ridiculously happy
in this world and always getting in trouble with the world because they just don't understand us. That we're seeking a world outside of this one. May the Lord bless you of the reading of the word and the preaching of the word. Would you bow your head?